I'm encouraged as I prepare to bring you the message that the Lord has laid on my heart for us this morning. First, I will start with just an introduction. There are a lot of new faces here, and I'm very glad to see that. My wife and I have had a connection with Family Bible Church over many years now, and we have seen God's faithfulness and Bob and Marcia and their ministry for the Lord. And we have seen God's faithfulness to Julie and I as we've ministered to God through many different times. So my name is Dewey Jones. I'm currently employed at the Georgia Regents University. I try to say not to say the medical college too much, but that's really where it is for me in my heart. I've been there for 28 years. And so in my ministry, I've been a lay minister, a working minister. I also am the father of one son, Brad Jones. He's 26 years old, I think. And he's currently worshiping and ministering at Master's Worship Center here in Augusta. He's married 3 years to his wife, Ashley. And we're very pleased that the Lord has blessed us. I was privileged to grow up in a small church here in the heart of Augusta, Georgia. It was called Druid Park Bible Church. We had great men of God, and I've been connected with Steve for many years through that ministry. As a matter of fact, he is my mentor, and I praise God for Steve. And he taught my Sunday school class for a while, and trying to remember back to that. Yeah. And also filled in at the church there, and we worshiped together as families for many years. God called me into the ministry through that church when we had a need for a music leader. And so against my kicks and pricks, I jumped up in front of this very pulpit, which was then donated when we closed the church in April of 2013 to Family Bible, and began my ministry as a music minister. I think I did that for maybe 2 years when God called me into the youth ministry in addition to the music ministry. And so we ministered with music and then with youth, and I don't know what the number of years between that was, but eventually I was called into the pulpit by a series of events where our elder pastor had retired. Our pastor that came in, our interim pastor, passed away, died suddenly. And I was in that facility, and I got down on my knees. My heart was heavy, and I said, "Lord, if you want, I would like to stay here." There was just a few. Most of the congregation was elder. And I asked God if he would leave me to take care of those sheep. And he was gracious, and he provided me with all that we needed for an additional 6 years of ministry, where I was the music leader, the youth minister, and the pastor. The church had a name change before that. It was changed to Bible Church of Augusta. And I did everything from cutting the grass and repairing facilities to bringing the messages on Sunday mornings. And some days I did all of that. And when the air conditioner didn't work, we'd try to get it fixed before the service started. God has blessed me. That church closed in April of 2013. It was a very hard thing to do, but there were no young people. And so, young people, support your church. Be ready to come in and stand into the gaps. We could bring them in for youth groups and volleyball, but when they grew up, they went out to different places. Some of them still involved in ministry. But in order for a church to survive and to thrive over generations, we need the youth. We need the young folks. But anyway, God's blessed Julie and I as we've been in a lay ministry now for 2 years. We set about with the intention of going around for 1 year and just encouraging those who we knew in like faith at their churches and visiting the different churches, also making sure that our sheep were planted into new churches. So we've been able to visit our folks, all but maybe one of them, in their new churches. I think we have yet to see Miss Margaret. But we intended to do that in 1 year. That has lapsed into a 2-year time period now. Julie and I are looking forward to settling down to a home church very soon. We've been out visiting. My report is good. There are churches and there are people in our community that love the Lord, and they're bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and some of them are bringing it loudly and strongly. There are also tares within the wheat, and we know that in different churches where we go about And so we should pray about that. But I thank you for being patient on taking a little time with my introduction. But I thought with many new faces, we would do that. And again, our connection with Family Bible has been beautiful, a beautiful picture of God's church at work. The support that you have given us in prayer and physical support coming by with food when Julie had surgeries. And just prayer for us as we were in the ministry. We have a connection through Jesus Christ that cannot be broken. And praise God for that. So we'll get on right straight on into the message. I hope you enjoyed the scripture reading this morning. It was John chapter 10. You're probably very familiar with the discourse of the Good Shepherd there. We're going to try to put just a little bit of a different twist on it this morning. Not too much, but we're going to look at some of these scriptures, scripture by scripture. I'm also going to be working through Psalm 23, so if you want to get ready to flip back and forth, you probably have Psalm 23 in memory, so you might not need to do that. But at any rate, the title of today's message is The Shepherd and the Sheep. And so we're going to look at a few points in connection with these scriptures, and we're going to start off with the role of the shepherd. Now, I'll go ahead and say at the outstart, when I talk about the shepherd, we're going to talk about the shepherd in a couple of different contexts, in that we have a chief shepherd in Jesus Christ. He is the head shepherd. He is the head of the church, and he is the one who loves us and cares for us. We're going to look at his role and just some of the role. I know there's so much more. We can't fit it all into one sermon, and thank God that we can't. But the first role of the shepherd that I see in these scriptures is he cares for the sheep. And we're going to look at this in several different ways. He cares for the sheep in the physical needs of the sheep. And so if you went back or you look back at Psalm 23 or remember it, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. So you sheep, if you're a sheep and you go to a green pasture, this is a good place to eat, not a brown, dirty, dry pasture. This is good food for a sheep. And he leadeth me beside still waters. So it's a good place for us to feed and drink and physically. And we're told in the scriptures that God supplies all of our needs. And I will profess and tell you that not only does he supply my needs, but he's gone way beyond that. And he loves to fulfill the desires of our heart when they line up with him. A really cute story in reference to that psalm that I heard one time was maybe a little girl who was 3 or 4 years old. And mommy was really proud and she says, "Would you stand up and tell us the 23rd Psalm?" And the little girl gets up and she goes, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want." I thought it was pretty good. The mother was a little embarrassed, but when she started thinking of it, wow, what a neat thing for your young child to say. "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want." Pretty cool. So the shepherd cares for the sheep, and he meets our physical needs. And he provides through the rain and through the earth and through his bountiful supply. When I look around at the way that he's feeding his people today, boy, he takes good care of us. He puts it out there. So he cares for our physical needs. The next thing the shepherd does is that he'll care for our spiritual needs. You go down to verse 3 in chapter 23 of Psalms. "He restores my soul." Wow, that's a big statement. God, the shepherd of the sheep, that great shepherd of the sheep, can restore our soul. I know most of you have some years on you in here, and so I know that at some point in time over the years you've been at a condition where life weighed down upon you and you were a bit broken. It's not a bad position for a Christian to be in, honestly, because when we're broken, we have a strength in God through Jesus Christ that passes all understanding. And yet, our souls are broken. We are weighed down by the cares and concerns and the reality of life, the things that happen to us that we seemingly have no control over. And yet, he promises that he'll restore my soul. He can lift us up. And I'll testify to this. He's lifted me up on more than one occasion. When I lay in a broken, crumbling heap of crying, God has lifted me up. He's dusted me off. He has restored my soul. He cares for the sheep's spiritual needs. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. wow, what we can get from these small texts is so important. God wants us to walk in a path. He wants us to walk in a path of righteousness. Not only does He want us to walk, but He will lead us in that direction. I can't tell you how many times when God has led me in a path of righteousness and I've seen something off to the side and I went off of that path of righteousness. Thank God He restores my soul. He will bring us back. He's waiting for us to get right back on that correct path. God, the great shepherd in Jesus Christ, cares for the sheep's spiritual needs. He cares for the sheep and loves the sheep with an everlasting love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loves the sheep. John 10, verse 11. We'll go back to our chapter 10 scripture here. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd what? He gives His life for the sheep. I'm going to go through, hopefully I won't miss it, but in this discourse, I too want to go through and look at some of these verses at the end, and then just some of the statements that Jesus makes in this passage are just so awesome. Let's talk just a minute about who Jesus is talking to here. He's talking to the disciples that are there, and also there's Pharisees and there are Sadducees around. And this is why they don't understand a lot of what He's saying. And remember, too, I think it's really neat that when Jesus has talked to these disciples, all of these events occurring before His resurrection, before His crucifixion, burial and resurrection at this point. And so the disciples, a lot of these things, they don't soak right in, which happens to me often, but they do call them to remembrance. The Holy Spirit brings them to their remembrance after He's gone, after He's ascended up into heaven to be with God, and they remember these things that He's taught them, and then they teach them not only to the churches that came, but then also they end up in His Scripture, His recording, His inerrant, infallible Word that we have, and they are taught to us today. God, through Jesus, the great shepherd, loves the sheep with an everlasting love. Even before His crucifixion, Jesus said, "And I give my life for the sheep." This speaks of His deity, of His knowing, being all-knowing, all-powerful. We'll come up to in the text later on when we look at that. So He loves the sheep, the shepherd, the role of the shepherd. He cares for the sheep, and He protects the sheep. We see in this passage He is the door, and that some come in some other way, a thief and a robber, but he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep in verse 1. Over in Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, Bob talked briefly a bit about that rod, and sometimes the shepherd would use that rod to poke the sheep and get them to go in the right direction, or use that staff in correction of the sheep, but also the shepherd would use the rod and the staff to defend the sheep. If an animal, a wild animal, would come about, he would take that staff, that long staff, and beat the animal and beat it away from the sheep and protect the sheep. God, through Jesus, that great shepherd, protects the sheep. I can't tell you how many times that I've seen myself protected, particularly when I was out of fellowship with the Lord, and He protected me in certain situations. He was gracious and merciful to me in so many situations, and He was the God of protection for me. Also, as we talked about in Acts today, that Paul was protected even in the courts, and even when he went to jail, that God protected him and kept him and would give him victory in different precarious situations. The door of protection and salvation, isn't that neat that He says in verse 9 of chapter 10 in John, I am the door, by Me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Boy, we have such a great advantage over those who were hearing these words on that day, in that we have God's Word completed. We can understand completely what Jesus Christ means when He says, I'm the door of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. He is that door into that salvation. He is the one who allows us to enter that Holy of Holies, who rent the veil in two when he was crucified, and that we have access to the throne of God by and through Jesus Christ. That we have access into eternity through his blood for salvation. He is that door. The shepherd protects the sheep. We go on with this. The shepherd blesses the sheep in Psalm 23, verse 5. We see the blessing of the shepherd upon the sheep, and in our lives, many of us have experienced God's blessing. Just in that you're in here before me today, you are well clothed, you are well fed, you are taken care of, you have the blessings of a loving God. He definitely cares for his sheep. Verse 5 of chapter 23, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. Isn't that a very neat fulfillment of the promise of the blessing of the shepherd who loves the sheep, who protects the sheep, who cares for the sheep, who is the door of the sheep pen? God loves his sheep. I think back to a guy I heard one time who was doing, he was a comedian, and he was a Christian comedian, and he talked about sheep and reading. He was reading his daily devotion and in the scripture, and he kept running across sheep, and he, I don't want to be a sheep. Sheep are stupid, and sheep are geeky, and he kept reading and kept reading. He said, no, I want to be a lion. And then he reads the scripture where Satan is as a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour. He went on with his presentation to bring us to the point where in the scripture we're not just sheep, we're super sheep. We're God's super sheep. You look at all of God's creation and how he has poured out his loving kindness on us as human beings. He's given us the ability to choose to love him and to be directed by him and to be brought into his eternal presence. So we're not just sheep, we're super sheep. So I want to look next. We've seen the role of the shepherd and some of the roles of the shepherd, and there are many more things that God does for us. But just in this discourse, we're going to go on to the role of the sheep, because sheep, as a part of the fold here, we have a role that we should have before the Lord. Now, don't get my pages all mixed up, but we're all going to be in trouble here. So I get this scrambled up. So the role of the sheep. Before we do that, let me go on so I make sure to hit some of these verses. Let's just look at this passage again, verse by verse real quick. We'll just read it over, and I want to hit a few points in here so that I don't forget them. Chapter 10. Verse 1, and verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth in some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. This is a very neat point here that we know that God knows our name. He knows so much more about us than that. But he'll call us out by name and lead us out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes out ahead of them, before them, and the sheep follow them, him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. For me to know the voice of God, the defining issue is the voice of truth. I know the truth. The truth comes from God's Word. Jesus Christ is the way and the truth. And the voice of God will be truth. We should follow that voice. When we hear a voice that's not truth, that voice is a stranger's voice, and we should not know it. Then the parable that Jesus spake to them, they did not understand these things which he spake to them. And Jesus said again, listen, I am the door of the sheep. Well, I bet that really confused him. First he said, the sheep go in and out of the door, and the porter opens the door, and now he says, I am the door. But I bet many of them understood it a bit better than we did. Many of those who were very familiar with shepherding and sheep, the shepherd would oftentimes be the door to the gate pen where the sheep were. He would lay there in the gap to protect the sheep and to be at the place where the harm was most likely to come from. And so they may have understood that a bit clearly, but that shepherd would stay at that doorpost, especially during the hours of the night when the sheep were in the pen. And then when it came time, he would lead them out and that bring them to those green pastures and to those still waters. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Did I skip a verse? All that ever came before me in verse 8 are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. This is the example that I like to use of how we identify Satan at work. And this has been pretty consistent through my life in Christ. If you're trying to identify when Satan's at work, it's still kill and destroy is in the process. It's ruining somebody's life. It's removing somebody from a relationship, a personal relationship, just taken away. Satan robs and takes away even those who serve him. He still kills and destroys. And it's an easy way to identify that enemy. I am come that they might have life. This is a really cool part of this scripture. I am come that they might have life, and life more abundantly. In the context of what we understand in the scriptures, this is more than just here and now. Someone once said, a very rich man, I don't believe think he was a believer, said there has to be more to life than this. Thank God that there is. We have been promised eternal life. But also he's given come to give us abundant life. And we can have abundant life in the here and now. I'm not going to give you a health and wealth gospel because I don't believe that. All of the disciples were eventually beheaded or killed for their beliefs. I'm not going to give you that health and wealth. But I am going to tell you this. When our desires line up with God's desires, we can experience an abundant life. That's been my personal experience. When my desires line up with God's desires, I can experience something that's so hard for me to explain to you. Peace and life in abundance. Boy, I am living the life when I am living it for God, with God, and through God. There's no other way to explain it. You might look at me and say, oh, he's working himself to death. But if I'm inside of God's desires, there's something I'm experiencing that just, I can't explain it. My life is full. It's rich. It's abundant. It's so much more than when I'm in sin and away from Him. This is the abundant life here on earth God's talking about. I think also that can translate into eternity, that we're going to have an abundant eternal life with the God who created this heavens and the earth. I'm so excited about my eternity with God. I've shared before, maybe from here with you guys, but as a little young man, I used to picture heaven as when you go up to heaven, you go up there with God, and you're sitting on a cloud, and you're going, praise God, praise God. And that's all you do. For a little guy, that's pretty boring. I mean, really don't want to sit on a cloud and go, praise God. But when I look at God's creation and when I look at you and how different we all are and how exciting that life can be, and He's gone to prepare a place for a long time. He's been gone to prepare a place for us, and He's been preparing. Let me tell you something. Heaven's not going to be boring. Heaven's going to be exciting. We're going to be with the One who created all things, who has this ability to make something like the Grand Canyon or a waterfall that'll just take your breath away. Oh, we should be excited about being in eternity with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, He cares so much for His sheep. Let's see, where are we at? Verse 10, The thief cometh not for to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Here we go again. Jesus knows what's going to happen. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, in other words, somebody that they paid to come in and take care of the sheep, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaves and flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, he says it again, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus wasn't crucified because he couldn't help it. He's going to go on and solidify that for us. And other sheep have I which are not of this fold, and also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Just, we could do a whole sermon on verse 16 there, but we'll just stop and say this, that I believe this is the speech to the Jewish people and talking about bringing the Gentiles into the fold and grafting us in to the sheep of the fold, in that fold, and then I am one shepherd. And those who have gone before, who had passed before, that the blood of Christ brings all of us into the eternal presence with God. Therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. He speaks here of the power of the in the deity that he has in the Godhead in verse 17 in chapter 10, in verse 18 in chapter 10. And then he goes on and says, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. This is huge to me. Jesus, in all of his humanity, when he was placed upon that cross, when he was beaten and cursed, and they hurt him, had the power all the time to stop that. And yet, what drove him to complete that? In all of that pain, how did he do it? Because God commanded him. This was the will of his Father. Not my will, but your will. Boy, is that a challenge to us as those who believe in God through Jesus Christ, that we would follow the will of God so completely as our Savior has given us this example all the way to the cross, that he followed the will of God. This commandment have I received from my Father. So good, we've kind of gone through the whole passage there. Let's look real quick at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. He didn't just stop with that he's going to die. He didn't just stop with he had the power to take his life again. He doesn't stop there. He says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then in verse 30, I and the Father am one. Well, they should have been up in arms over that one. They did eventually get up in arms about that statement. I and the Father am one. Jesus Christ, a member of the Godhead completely and fully. Jesus Christ, a human in the flesh completely and fully. Boggles the mind. But this is what our God did for us. And not only that, but he gives us a good shepherd. So the role of the sheep, let's get on into it. So here I am. I am a sheep and I am a super sheep. So the role of the sheep is we should care for the shepherd. So if you're some of the kids I've come in contact over the years, it's tough for me to sometimes give a message. Some of them didn't have good parents. Some of them had awful parents. And so when I tried to give this comparison of a loving parent, many of them didn't understand it. Hopefully in here today, you'll understand it. I know I see a lot of the young people in here have got good parents, good godly parents. And so you'll understand this. When you see your parent love you, and go beyond and above sacrificed their time, their efforts, themselves, in order to make your life happen or be better or love you with an everlasting love. You see that. And it develops a bond between you and your child that's just, you can't replace it with anything else. They see, these kids see what you're doing and how much you love them. And when we see completely God and Jesus, we should love Him and see how much He cares for us. So our role here is to, in reverse, is to love that shepherd. Well, this is really what God's after anyway, is for us to choose to love Him, because He loved us first, because He's a good God, because He's a just God, because He is an all-powerful God, and we should choose Him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy might, all thy strength, all thy soul, everything that we have, we ought to love God. Why? Because He loves us. He's a good God. He wants to make good, He wants us to make good choices for Him. I'll stop here real quick, and you know, the world's definition of love is really messed up. And people do not understand love outside. I don't know. Even, you know, common sense doesn't make common sense anymore out in the world to me. But one of the things that Satan has done as one who would come to kill, steal, and destroy is to confuse the definition of love. Listen, love's much more than an emotion. It's much more than a feeling. It's more than devotion. It's more than obedience. Love rejoices in the truth. It never fails. It shares in the deepest of our souls. And there's no wonder the Scripture says that God is love. And we need to be in love with our God. We need to be completely in love with Him. We need to see Him as one who should be the object of our desire, of everything that we desire, it to please Him, to know that He is good and that He loves us. We could go on and on about love. I see love much more as a verb, much more as a choice. Particularly with God, when I look at God's love to me, I am not very lovable. Boy, if you knew the depths of my sin, you would just want to throw me out in that trash can out there. I'm not a lovable person, and yet God says, I love Him. Not because He's pretty, not because He speaks well. I love Him because I choose to love Him. This is God exercising His sovereignty and pouring out His love on the sheep. I am going to be loved by God. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm going to be loved by God. Now think about this. You can exercise God's love in the same way. Let's flip that around. I'm going to love this person no matter what. I am going to love them with God's love. That doesn't mean I have to say what they're doing is right or what they're doing is good. It doesn't mean tolerance. Love does not equal tolerance. But we can pour out the love of God. And we can do it by understanding that we exercise that as a verb and as a choice. The sheep should know the shepherd, and the sheep should know the shepherd's voice. John chapter 10, verse 3, to him the porter openeth, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. He leads them out. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of my sheep. How do we know the good shepherd? How do you get to know God? There's a lot of ways you can get to know God. I do not believe that you can look out at nature and not see God. I don't understand how people can look at a sunset or look at the creation and not understand that it is God who created it. We know God by His Word. He's left us this Word that has stood the test of time. There's more evidence in this Bible. I don't understand why this is not an authoritative history book in our schools. I don't understand it. There is so much evidence in the Bible that we can go out there in the earth and find it. There's so many of these places and things that exist, archaeological evidence. God's given just a preponderance of evidence in the Scripture. I don't understand why the Bible's not considered a fact. I cannot, for me, understand it, other than that we've got an enemy out there that wants to distort the truth. This is how we know the shepherd's voice, is by His Word. Then when we find of Him in His Word, and we bring Him into our hearts, that this reveals that Christ died for us, and there that change occurs. Then we're taught by His Spirit, and we know His voice by learning to follow Him. Now, my wife and I have been together for 31 years, and I failed to mention how much God has used her in helping me in the ministry. And thank you, honey, but thank God for what He's done. But anywhere in the house or anywhere out in the yard, if she calls out to me, I know her voice because we hang out together a little bit. Sometimes the sheep don't know the shepherd's voice because they're not hanging out with him. Sometimes we miss the voice because we haven't been listening to it. Sometimes I miss God's voice because I don't know it is good anymore. Verse 14, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. There are marks of identifiers of the sheep, and this is one of them that we'll understand. The way to identify the sheep of the shepherd is that they follow him. The sheep don't follow other shepherds, they follow the shepherd. The sheep, the role of the sheep, we continue on with this the next point. The sheep should obey the shepherd. We just talked about following the shepherd. Let's look at John chapter 15, verses 9 through 14. Just a few pages over. On the way to the garden, Jesus to the disciples. I like to kind of bring into context what we're talking. He's talking to the disciples here. As the Father's loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Now let's remember these are some of the words that the disciples are going to remember later on. Boy, did these words have an effect on them. The church that we have today, the scriptures that we have today are brought out by that group of men who were so changed by the event of Christ's crucifixion, burial, and resurrection that they brought this message into the world from that one little place, which is, to me, it's another just, I mean, this dot on a map compared to the rest of the world is just incredible proof that God's Word is true. But to these men, and these words fell on their ears and they never left them, the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, continue in my love. This love we're talking about, it's more than an emotion, it's more than a feeling. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in His love. These things I've spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, and whatsoever you do, I command you. Jesus is asking the disciples to be obedient, because this obedience is what will bring them into their effectiveness. The war for your salvation, if you've trusted in Christ, is over. If you've believed in God through Jesus Christ, the war for your salvation is done. It's a done deal. And yet we're told there's still a battle on. And we can feel it. There's still a battle on. What is that battle for? It's for our effectiveness as God's sheep, as God's warriors, as those who bring the light into the world. That's what the battle is for. Satan, now that you're going to be in eternity, you believe in Jesus Christ, you're sealed. No man can pluck you out of the hand of Jesus. You're sealed. The battle is on for our effectiveness as Christians, those who follow Christ. Satan is battling, and he's battling on this point every day against us. And so how do we win this battle? By being obedient. That my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full, that you might have that life and that abundant life is by through obedience, and that obedience comes out of love, and that we know that the shepherd wants only good for us. This is another brand or another way that we identify the sheep. The sheep love the shepherd. The sheep obey the shepherd. This is one way that we can look out. And maybe if we see someone who's out of disobedience or in disobedience, that we might ask them, you know, did you get lost along the way? Or is your belief in God real? We should question ourselves. that we should make sure that we understand that my belief is real. And how do we do that? By our love and our obedience. Dear ones, I don't want you to miss out on the opportunity of being in eternity. I want you to know for sure. And I'll tell you how I know for sure. I've done some things out of obedience to God when the odds were against me. Things were stacked up. And I found myself in obedience to God in a couple of different particular areas that I just know that I'm going to be with Him, that I love Him. That solidified it for me. Now, that's not what my work is, not what brought my salvation, but it surely did give me the confidence in it. It's almost as though there were a brand placed on me because of our love and commitment. He says, you'll know one another, you'll know my disciples by our love. Oh, don't be mistaken that there's nothing that I can do that'll earn my place in heaven. God's done it through Jesus Christ. That's a sealed deal. There's nothing that we can go beyond the cross. There's nothing we can do that'll ever be as great as the cross, as God giving His Son for us. Love and obedience are ways that we know that we're the sheep. The role of the sheep. We should love the shepherd. We should obey the shepherd. We should follow the shepherd. We should have devotion to the shepherd. We should trust the shepherd. We talk about faith, and when I think about faith, that one word definition of faith, that trust, is pretty neat to me. I have faith in God. I trust Him. I trust Him even when something doesn't seem that I don't see the clear path or the clear future or what God's doing. That I trust Him enough to continue to go where He leads me. Now, I want to wrap up the last part of the message, or just finish out the last points of the message with two different kind of things here. The role of the under-shepherd. Last week, Bob asked me if I chose this date because he wasn't going to be here, just kind of laughing and joking. And I looked at him and I said, well, yeah, I kind of did. I did choose this day because he was going to be gone on his trip. And the Lord had laid on my heart to share with you some things of our role in the church and some things about your under-shepherd, which is Bob. He works directly under that chief shepherd, the head of the church through Jesus Christ. And he's been called into this role of the shepherd of this flock. And we're going to look a little bit at that role. And then we're going to look a little bit at how we can lift him up in that. Bob, I would not consider a hireling as described into this passage as one who would run when the wolves come. He's not here for the money. I know him as my friend. I've known him for many years. I know his devotion. I would see him as a servant of God and Jesus Christ that has been called to be in this place and to do the will of God in all of his humanity and in everything that he has that are the same struggles that we have in life. I see him as an under-shepherd who cares for the sheep, and he is subject completely to the chief shepherd in that he would lay down his life for the sheep. Now, I'm not sure if he'd go out there and get run over by a car for you, but I know that he would sacrifice his time. I've seen him do it. I know that he would sacrifice himself, things that he'd rather do, to see you lifted up, to see you given the message of the Word of God through Jesus Christ. I know that he would give of his family and his family's time, and that he would teach them and admonish them in the Word of the Lord and bring them into a point of service, because he understands that he wants not just life, but he would desire abundant life, and not just for himself, but for his family. I would lift Bob up as a good under-shepherd, not a perfect man. And I would tell you that he has been an encouraging friend to me and has come to me in times that he didn't even know it and said just a few words that brought me into a place of ministry and that brought my heart into a place where I could worship God and serve God. The under-shepherd, the role of the under-shepherd, he cares for the sheep. He works under the chief shepherd. God guides and directs. The chief shepherd lays down the rules. This is the path, and I need you to do these things and help me with these sheep. He cares for the sheep, and he cares for the sheep, much like the shepherd, the physical needs. The under-shepherd will be real help and real work in real time. He'll put himself out there. He'll provide finances sometimes, maybe if you need help. He'll provide some help in your home. He'll come and help you get things done, and I'm talking about more than just a pat on the back, but real help, devotion, and commitment. John chapter 21, verse 16, we'll flip to that real quick. My memory's not as sharp as Bob's, so I don't have all these memorized, but I can look them up. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, oh, this is Peter, the story of Peter, this is really neat. Let's just go back. Let's go ahead and read the first time. Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, this is chapter 21, verse 15 of John, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto them, yea, Lord, you know I love you. And he said to him, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, you knowest I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. He says to him a third time, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he had asked him three times, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, I've heard Bob's sermon on this. He's real good about bringing these Greek words about love out and how Peter explained that. But our focus here is what Jesus says to Peter today. Feed my sheep. If you love God and you're an under-shepherd, you are going to be charged with the task of feeding the sheep. Peter's definitely an under-shepherd of Jesus Christ because we know the past, the present, and what will lie ahead for Peter and his role in the church and helping to form the church as the church grew. And we know of Peter's zeal. I want to bring one other point about this story because I love it so much. But you remember, Peter's the one who denied Jesus before the crucifixion, before the rooster crowed. You know, his denial was three times. He denied Jesus Christ three times. Do you see what the great shepherd has given him an opportunity to do three times? Do you love me? He says three times, do you love me? He gives him an opportunity to respond. He gives him an opportunity to repent. He gives him an opportunity to feed the sheep. You think of all the ones that might have been condemned for the wrong that they did. Oh, Peter denied Jesus Christ three times before they crucified him. And yet, he is so instrumental in bringing the gospel to us today. Something happened. Something changed in Peter's life, from that point where he denied him to this point where he's standing before him. Even after this, I believe Peter's transformation continued as he began to realize the gravity and the scope of what happened at the cross. In our lives, in our Christian lives, as we begin to realize the gravity and the scope of what happened for us at the cross, we should transform. We should be renewed. We should be regenerated. We should have a changed mind. And this, for me, has not been a one-time change. This is a continual change of process, of thinking, of living, of my desires, of everything about my life. The way I think and look at things is totally different because of what happened at the cross. It's so different. And Peter was transformed by this. But let's focus today on what he says. Feed my sheep. Your under-shepherd has taken this to heart. He intends to feed you. I've been here. I love his teaching. He will feed you from the Word of God. And he'll keep you. You ought to soak it up. Soak up that teaching. He has so much to teach. He cares for the sheep's physical needs. He cares for the sheep's spiritual needs. This is spiritual food, I believe, that God is talking about here. Feed my sheep. Grow them. And we can see this. I see this clearly in Bob's actions. And this is not a story. This is not to boast Bob and lift Bob up. Okay, he would say that was wrong, and I would agree with it. But I want to tell you what, this is what God's done through Bob. This is what God can do through someone who is committed. Not only does he bring himself to this commitment, but he brings his family of, I can't keep count, I think there's eight. Can we include you? Well, seven kids, but don't you count?
Oh.
Uh-huh. And so Marcia's here. We're not going to make her go outside, but I want to lift you up, sister, and not as you, as your humanity, but as what God's done for you. And I want to just tell you that this is a beautiful heart. And so that's what I wanted to do today was to share my heart with you a little bit. See, I've experienced some of the difficulties and some of the pitfalls in being in the role of the pulpit and being that shepherd of the sheep. I beat myself up on many occasions, and believe me, I failed a lot. There are times when I just wasn't the shepherd, the under-shepherd that I should have been. And there are times when I yielded myself to God and He used me and He molded me. And he did things that I just couldn't believe through me when I allowed him to work. And so I tell you that you get more than a two-for-one deal here with your pastor and your pastor's wife and their kids, but it's more than that. It's because they love the Lord, and so you can see that. And so the whole ideal, the whole reason for my message this morning is first to lift up Jesus Christ as the chief shepherd, that we should follow him. We should follow His voice completely. God should be glorified in everything that we do. And I think that that glorifying can come and also in trying to see that the flock of the under-shepherd moves forward with kindness and grace and mercy and with effectiveness and with efficiency. And so I'm going to challenge you in conclusion. In 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 8, we're going to look at a few verses that challenge not just you, but I'm going to include me to that and us. And as I am a sheep in the fold just like you, and 1 Peter, if I can get to it, it's in here, it's in the back. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. We're going to look at a couple different scriptures here. And so this scripture in chapter 5 challenges the elders, and I would consider your pastor to be your under-shepherd to be a portion of this challenge and this exhortation in 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who I am also an elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that should be revealed. Isn't it neat? We just looked at Peter, and here we're looking at Peter again. Feed the flock of God. Wow. The guy who just was told to feed the sheep. Feed the sheep, feed the sheep. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for money, but of a ready mind, not as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock when the chief shepherd shall appear. So I don't think I'm too much out of context in calling Jesus Christ that chief shepherd. We got it right here in the scripture. When that chief shepherd shall appear, you receive a crown of glory that will not fade away. Likewise, ye younger, who's young in here, look up. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. How can we be exalted? Through humility. I've seen it happen. God can do that. In our humility, He can lift you up and say, hey, look, this is the one in whom I am well pleased. He can lift you up and you can be exalted. You can be lifted up in spirit and in the eyes of God and men, and exalted in the humility in due time. Verse 7, casting all your cares upon you, for He careth for you. Marcia, you guys made a little thing for our window. It's a little picket fence. It has 1 Peter 5, 7 on it. Casting all your cares for you upon Him, for He careth for you. You gave us that when we had just begun our ministry, or we had been in it for a little bit at Druid Park. It still hangs there today. It is still an encouragement today. It is a gift from God. Thank you very much. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Here's this lion. Be sober, be vigilant. Be sober, be serious, be vigilant, because you have an adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Wow. I have seen Christians devoured by Satan. Literally. Their testimony eaten alive as if it were by a lion. We need to be careful that we are not devoured. Pride is something that will get us eaten up. Disobedience will bring us into that place. Time away from our shepherd's voice can bring us to a point where we may be devoured. And I'm not talking about just baby Christians that I've seen eaten up. I've seen some serious-minded Christians devoured by Satan. It's an ugly thing. We are to be sober and vigilant. And so these are exhortations to the church, and this brings the roles of the shepherd in. It brings the roles of the elders in. It brings the role of the sheep in. And dear ones, I'm here to lift you up and encourage you to support your under-shepherd and to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into this community by having it in your lives as a light. If you walk with God, you talk with God, you spend time with God, you're not going to be able to hide it. It will be evidenced in what you do. Again, that's from practical experience. I tell you what, if I'm not effective for God, something is wrong with my fellowship. If I'm not being an effective witness for God, I need to go back in. I need to reevaluate my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You won't be able to help it. Something from God comes out of you when He's in you like that, when you're fellowshipping with Him, when you're loving Him that way. And this is what has come out of Bob. This is what comes out of his family. I see it. I'm not saying they're perfect. Boy, they have some problems. But I love them because they love God. I love you because you love God. What a bond we have together in Jesus Christ. We should sacrifice our lives by committing ourselves to Jesus Christ. And isn't that neat? It's the way that we gain our lives. We gain that abundant life. I want to close with 1 Thessalonians 5:11 and 24, and then we'll look at one other section in Hebrews. Bear with me. I have trouble finding Thessalonians sometimes. I think I got it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 11 through 24. The walk of the model walk of the believer in the day of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another. Even as you also do, and we beseech you, we beg you, brothers, to know them which labor among you, and you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none do evil for evil unto any man. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not the prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is a good. This is a tough one. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Wow. That's a tough admonishment. Abstain from all appearance of evil. I wish I could say that I've done that very consistently. I certainly have listened to it, and I certainly have heard it. And it has been not just great advice, but great truth from the Word of God. For if we live with that in mind, it has a great effect on not only our walk with God, but how we come off to the world. Even stay away from, even if it doesn't look like it might be good. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray that God, your whole spirit, your soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you who will also do it. Wow, we get from God's word there are quite a bit of challenges for us as the role of the sheep. But there's a reason for it. Remember I said that God's good, he loves us, he's just, he's kind. There's a reason for these scriptures existing. I've seen it in churches. What the sheep do have a lot to do with where the flock goes. How we respond to things. How selfish we are in our journey. How we view one another. Do we see one another with kindness, with love, with compassion, with care? How careful are we about our selfishness? This is one thing that Satan will use to divide the flock. He uses it really, really a lot, is selfishness. Let me tell you something. Coming in here is not about self. It's about worshiping a holy, loving God. It's about being taught and fed. Sometimes it's about correction. The rod of correction hurts. We don't like it. It's uncomfortable. But it's really, really, really good for us. How we respond to these things, the way that we treat one another, the way that we pray for one another, what's in our, really, really in our heart. I want to encourage you, not just to the flock at Family Bible Church, but I want to encourage you to have the fruits of the Spirit and to exercise them, not just outside of here, but inside of here. Be patient. Be kind. Be loving. Be compassionate. Be caring. Be real with one another. And I want to tell you something, I've seen you do it. I want to lift you up, tell you, you guys have loved Julie and I with an everlasting. We see smiles, we come into this place. How you been doing? What's going on? Where you been going? What are y'all up to today? You have encouraged us to the nth degree. Keep it up. But encourage one another inside of your flock. Let's move forward. Let's encourage our pastor, our under-shepherd. Let's encourage his family. Let's say, I know that you've sacrificed. I know that you love me. Let's realize that they're not perfect. Let's not be so quick to jump on their mistakes. I'd be willing to bet you, I don't know about them, but I know that I would beat myself up over my mistakes pretty good. I'd take myself to task, and we should. And that oftentimes that you as the sheep don't need to take the under-shepherd to task over his errors. That's okay to bring. He wants you to share your heart with him. Bring things to him, but bring them in the right spirit. Bring them in. Try to think of a way to do it with encouragement. I want to close with Hebrews. I hope I didn't put the page away. I keep saying I'm going to close. I'm not done yet. I hadn't been in the pulpit in a while. This is fun. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 and 25. And again, too, what laid this on my heart was I've been in the pulpit. I've been a pastor. I've had people come up to me on the same day and tell me that it was too cold, and then another one to come and tell me it was too warm. We have to meet a compromise in there. It's just a little example. But there are constant challenges, and the challenge is to keep, the challenge for your under-shepherd is to keep his heart in the right place. There are times when he just wants to explode. I can't do what everybody wants all at the same time because they want something different. And he wants so much to do that. And so I share with you from my heart that while he's laid himself before the Lord, that does not come without challenges, significant challenges for he and his personal life. Remember, too, that he's a man and he's a person. Sometimes he needs a hug. Sometimes he needs a pat on the back. Sometimes he needs you to look in his eyes and share something from the deepest part of your life. That's what he's after. I mean, that's what I was after as a pastor. There were so many times when people only would share with me what was on the surface. I knew there was more boiling under there that really God could help with. And they never came. They never would. And I'm just there ready for them to open up their heart to me and to the Lord. Don't be afraid to open up your heart to Bob or to Marcia. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. Let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's a good challenge for us as Christians. We're supposed to provoke, promote, encourage, bring one another unto love and to good works. So many times, I have been the wrong type of criticism to my wife in particular. Honey, I'm sorry. I apologize. But I approached her in the wrong way. All I could do was point out what she's done wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. And boy, we can see that in one another. It's really, I can see exactly what's wrong with her. I can tell you. Because I know her. But I didn't provoke her to love. And I didn't provoke her to good works by bashing her. Sometimes we need the truth pointed out, and we should do that as brothers and sisters in Christ. But we need to hold fast to this scripture that says, listen, consider one another and provoke us to love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Be at the services. Encourage your under-shepherd. Some days you don't feel good. Come on in. Go to Sunday school. Come to Wednesday night services. Participate in the family activities. Help this flock go forward with your under-shepherd. Bring in a guest. Let me tell you something. It might be hard to come consistently. I know it is. As a pastor, there were some days when, to be honest with you, it was hard to get to church. I knew that I wanted to be there, but it seemed like everything that could go wrong would go wrong and did go wrong and kept going wrong until the point where I got to the door of the church and then it still went wrong. Maybe the lights didn't come on. The air conditioner wouldn't work. The guy was in the parking lot, couldn't get out of his car. The sheep were yelling at one another. It's just, oh my. But when I got in there and I got behind the Word of God, it's a blessing every time when my heart was in the right place. Not only from the pulpit, but as a sheep out in the congregation. Put my heart in the right place. It was a blessing every time. You can't come to the Word of God and not get a blessing. Something's wrong if you come into the Word of God and not get something from it. Thank you so much for allowing me this time today to stand here before you and to lift you up. I hope that you'll find my words encouraging and not discouraging. I want you to go out and be a light to the world by being obedient, loving. I want you to be more than just a sheep. I want you to be a super sheep. I want you to be more than just those who sit in the benches and fill up some space. We need those. We need that to keep going. But we need those who are actively involved, those who are loving and kind and encouraging. And when you do that amongst yourselves, other people will see it. The change will happen inside of you, and you just won't be able to help but be an effective for Jesus. You won't be able to help it for being effective. I want to pray together for you using a scripture that my pastor used to use at times. And as a young man, it would just kind of fly over my head and through my ears, and it never seemed to land. He had memorized this passage, but I have not. Maybe I do, but I'm usually too nervous to try to do it. But my prayer for you is this, in Hebrews 13:20, and we'll pray. Let's go before the Lord now. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, may He make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Dear God, thank You so much today for this opportunity that You've given me. I confess to You that there are sins in my life. There's been sin, and I've lifted them up before You. I thank You that there's mercy and forgiveness. Father, I pray for those here at Family Bible Church, and I praise You for them, that they love You. Father, I know that they experience difficulties, that they have challenges, God, and I lift them up before You. I ask that they would hear Your voice and that they would follow You. I know that You will lead them in a great direction. I pray that You would help them and us together as soldiers in Your army, that we might be lights to a world of darkness, that we might have a voice in the wilderness that is heard by those who would trust You, that this community may be transformed by Your power through this group. For the young people who are in this group, I lift them up before You, God. I ask that You would take this message, this knowledge that You have laid on their hearts, God, and that You would bring it out into their lives, and that they would be a generation to come before You. Father, we do thank You so much for Jesus and for His sacrifice, for His humanity, that You are not a God that's not unfamiliar with our infirmities, things that hurt us. Not only that, Lord, but I know that Jesus experienced heartache and denial and betrayal and all the things that we felt in our lives, that our Savior has experienced that. I thank You so much for the salvation that was purchased for us at Calvary, but I praise You that our Savior is not in the grave, that He is risen again, and that You are a God of all power and of all eternity. We just praise You. I thank You, God. Please bless our day, bless our week. Help us to be loving and kind one to another. Please bless Bob as they're gone to Canada, and bless their adventure. Father, may You be lifted up in what they do and be with them. We love You, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Right, let's stand and sing together, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. 6